Hello, friends, and welcome to this episode of The Clone Conspiracy, a podcast where we try to explain the history of Ben Reilly and just what the hell is going on with one of the most infamous comic storylines of all time, Spider-Man's The Clone Saga. I'm your host, Scott Free. We're in the thick of it, friends, and we're finally at the original Clone Saga's climax. We left off with Amazing Spider-Man 144 and the shock reveal that Gwen Stacy, dead since issues 121 and 122, 2 years prior, lives. Sort of. Issue 145 opens with a single-page panel with a shocked-looking Gwen standing behind Peter, who's crouched on the steps of his apartment building stairway, wide-eyed and clutching his knees, while ghostly Spider-Man, visible only to the reader and Peter, hovers in front of him. This issue, titled, Gwen Stacy is Alive, ... is by Jerry Conway and Ross Andrew, and Andrew, pardon the expression, draws the absolute shit out of this page. Peter, as I mentioned, is sitting on the steps, clutching his knees. The ghostly Spider-Man that only he can see is pointing his finger at him and is talking. Well, Parker, it's finally happened, hasn't it? After all these years, after all the battles you fought as me, you've finally gone off the deep end. You're Starkers, Parker. Crackers. Crazy. Nuts. Face it, fella. You're a prize candidate for a one-way trip to the loony bin. Peter tries to reconstruct the past week of his life, while Gwen, behind him, tries to get his attention. She approaches and touches his shoulder, and he snaps, darting away from her and yelling at her not to touch him. Peter then starts berating Gwen, or who appears to be Gwen. You, Gwen Stacy, in quotes. The only girl I ever loved. A girl who was killed months ago by the Green Goblin. Peter, you're hurting me. You're lucky I don't belt you in the mouth, sister. Whatever your game is, it won't work. Gwen Stacy is dead. She's dead. And that makes you an imposter. Peter charges down the stairs after shoving Gwen back. Do me a favor, lady. Crawl back in your hole. Nice try, but I'm not buying. Gwen is, meanwhile, kneeling on the stairs now, crying. Peter shoves past Aunt Anna and storms out onto the street. He then escapes to a rooftop and changes into Spider-Man, swinging off towards the hospital. Cannot emphasize enough how great these pages from Conway and Andrew are. Peter's dialogue is sharp, he's panicked, and towards Gwen, it's brutal. The art really sells Peter's hysteria and Gwen's confusion. You get sort of the impression from the art that Gwen is just as confused as Peter as to what the hell's going on. We then get a brief interlude with Matt Gargan, better known as the Scorpion, being released from federal prison in scenic New Jersey and returning to New York before we smash cut back to the hospital. A still panicked Peter changed back to Peter Parker, now sits with a very heavily medicated May in a hospital bed. He's afraid that the shock might be what finally kills her. May, drugged, reaches out to touch Peter's face and have a quiet moment. This, of course, being a superhero comic, we then get an extended fight with the Scorpion, who has gone right back to crime. Whoops. Peter returns to the hospital and finds three-quarters of his supporting cast waiting in the hall. MJ, Robbie Robertson, Betty Brant, Ned Leeds, and, dun-dun-dun, Gwen Stacy. Peter starts to yell at her again, only to be stopped by Ned, who reveals two things. This Gwen's fingerprints match those taken at the dead Gwen's autopsy, and two, dead Gwen's grave was checked, and dead Gwen is still dead and buried. This crying Gwen, a new Gwen, embraces a stunned Peter. Issue 146, titled Scorpion, Where is Thy Sting? By Conway, with Andrew on art, and Romita Sr. listed as an embellisher, meaning he helped Andrew finish the art, opens with the Jackal, this fucking guy again. Just when you think you are out of the Jackal business, the Jackal, once again, will show up. And he's drawn here by Andrew, particularly maniacal. I mean, by this point in the story and the encounters that we've had with the Jackal in the past, you know that he's insane, but he comes off on this first sort of splash page. He's crouched on a stool in his lab, holding up a bust of Spider-Man, and he's monologuing at the bust. Like, this is not a sane individual. Alas, the Jackal says, poor Spider-Man. I knew him well. And he just goes into maniacal laughter. So, you know, not the most stable individual. He sort of does a jig around the lab while holding the head. It's bizarre. Cut to Peter then, walking Gwen home. It's unclear where he's walking her, I'm going to be honest with you. It's unclear how a seemingly dead girl still has an apartment. Maybe it's a hotel. Who knows? Either way, Peter's walking her into a building. Gwen asks Peter if he still loves her. There's a really long pause, Peter's part, because Gwen, trails off, and the sons are running off into her apartment building or hotel. It's good. And again, like, Andrew really sells the angst that both of them are feeling. We then smash back to the Scorpion, who is doing crime, because that's what Matt Garrigan does, loves crime. And unshockingly, he is approached by the Jackal. The Jackal wants to hire services to team up against Spider-Man. As I mentioned in our prior episode, at this point, they're doing sort of two-issue arcs where a villain shows up, and the villain, typically in the second issue, sometimes in the first, is approached by the Jackal, and that villain works with the Jackal to fuck over Spider-Man. Now it's the Scorpion's turn. This leads to, like, one of my favorite Bronze Age Spider-Man sequences. It's absolutely hilarious, where the Scorpion bursts in through Aunt May's hospital room window, screaming, "Where's Spider-Man, you old bag?" And announcing then that the Jackal told him that Spider-Man would be here. May screams and passes out. I mean, old lady loves to pass out. Loves it. Peter, in the confusion, tries to jump on Scorpion. Scorpion knocks him back. He darts out of the room and does a quick change into Spidey going after Scorpion. Whole sequence is completely apeshit. And, like, I'm not describing it with justice. Like, you really should look this up. Scorpion, not the brightest supervillain, just starts running through the hospital, trashing things and kicking in, we're told, 15 doors and just, like, startling patients. At one point, he screams at a doorknob that won't open, basically for, like, disrespecting him, I guess. And he rips the door clean off. It's fun. It's a nuts sequence. And Peter then questions how the Jackal knew Spider-Man would be at May's room, and he begins to suspect that the Jackal knows his actual identity. And this makes Pete enraged, and he takes out that rage on the Scorpion, who he just absolutely beats the crap out of him, and at the end of the issue, sort of bookending the insanity of Scorpion's original entrance, he brings him back to the hospital room and makes him apologize to Aunt May, who criticizes his manners and threatens to slap him, which is great. 147 and 148 feature the return of the Tarantula, who, at the start of 147, the Jackal helps bust out of federal prison. May and MJ have a fairly sweet scene at the start of 147 where May encourages a downbeat and distraught MJ not to give up the fight for Peter now that Gwen is back. This is setting the stage for the now iconic Mary Jane and Peter relationship that runs for the next 50 years, I mean, into the present date. And this is sort of doing that work. Now, this is where the issue goes from normal to insane, just very quickly. Ned Leed shows up and gives Peter a lab report that confirms that Gwen is a clone. How they know this is very unclear. Like, I don't know who's doing commercial clone testing in New York in the mid-70s. Like, a high evolutionary, one of Mr. Sinister's personas, like Dr. Milberry. Unclear. Who knows? Spidey and the Tarantula fight in Midtown, and they end up fighting on a bus, which pulls to a stop, and a seemingly dazed and almost hypnotized Gwen gets on. This is a fairly famous sequence from this run. She's just sitting on the bus while Peter and the Tarantula are just beating the shit out of each other, and Peter's trying to get her attention, but she's in a daze. Suddenly, the elderly bus driver pulls off a latex mask, and it's revealed to be the Jackal, who was wearing his regular mask, this sort of giant green Nosferatu head, under a latex mask. I don't know exactly how that works, but it does. So, yeah, okay. Tarantula then kicks Spidey with his drug-tipped shoes. That's his thing. Tarantula, who I haven't really discussed in depth to this point, Latin American mercenary, he has pointy shoes. He uses his pointy shoes as a weapon. That's like his thing. That's really sort of the most notable thing about Tarantula. He commits war crimes with pointy shoes. And they're tipped with drugs sometimes. Spidey wakes up then, bound in chains on top of the Brooklyn Bridge, where the Jackal taunts him about Gwen's prior death and his failure to save her from the Green Goblin of the bridge. This is, yeah, it's an issue from the bus scene to the drug shoes to the bridge. The Jackal, standing over Peter, goes, "How could you understand anything I'd conceived? How can you understand pure hate? The hatred I feel for you because of what you did to this poor, darling young girl. Don't look to her for help, Spider-Man. She's mine now. And you can't hurt her anymore. I gave her life, just as I'm going to give you death by killing you the same way you killed Gwen Stacy 2 years ago." And then he gets Tarantula to shove Peter off the bridge. So, you know, this is the revelation that we've been building towards, that the Jackal has been the one behind the clones. You can sort of piece it together before this, but this is the explicit on-page confirmation. 148 opens up with Spidey narrowly avoiding a fatal fall off the bridge and escaping from some NYPD officers. And we go nuts right from the beginning as the Jackal, Tarantula, and the dazed Gwen Stacy escape by means of a jetpack that was hidden in Gwen's ugly-ass coat. Yeah, the Jackal takes pieces out of her coat and assembles a jetpack. The comics, baby. After an interlude, Peter and MJ have an angry confrontation over Peter's lack of attention to MJ in the wake of Gwen's return. MJ storms off, and Ned Leeds stops by to talk to Peter about the Gwen situation. Ned's a good reporter. This is his pre-Hobgoblin days. And he's been doing the work. He raises 4 enumerated points. And this is sort of the core here of what's going on in the Clone Saga. And first, the real Gwen is dead. Second, there seems to be a second Gwen, a clone of the first, with all of her memories. But the memories are several months out of date. They seem to stop around or shortly before the time of her death. Someone is behind the appearance of Gwen 2, and that person seems to have it out for Peter and Spider-Man. And fourth, Whoever brought Gwen back had access to her cell tissue while she was still alive. Now, we know, of course, number three, that the Jackal seems to be the one behind the clones. And he clearly, at this point, we've established, has it out for Peter and Spider-Man. Number four, that whoever brought Gwen back had access to her cell tissue while she was alive. Again, I'm not sure how Ned knows this, but for the sake of the plot, you just have to go along with Ned Leeds suddenly knowing about cloning. Peter remembers that their biology professor, Miles Warren, had a lab assistant who collected samples from the students as part of some experiment. Then Peter goes to find Warren, who's teaching night classes, and they relay the story to Warren. A seemingly shocked Warren shows them that the specimens are gone, and he says that the lab assistant, one Anthony Serba, has disappeared. Quick change to Spider-Man, and Spider-Man goes to investigate Serba's last known address, and shock, not really, the tarantula and his stupid goddamn pointy shoes are there. They fight, and fight, and fight, and Spidey gets the upper hand. Until the Jackal does his favorite thing, after cloning, his favorite thing, and appears out of nowhere and claws Peter. Back of the head, jumps him, knocks him out. Motherfucker loves to pop out and claw somebody. Finally, as this issue ends, we get the dramatic reveal as Spider-Man goes down. The Jackal removes his mask and reveals that he is none other than Miles Warren. At the time, this was a fairly large shocker. Professor Warren had shown up in the series several times after Gwen's death, and he didn't seem to be particularly off his rocker, so to speak. But as we learn in his monologuing, Gwen's death had driven him insane. One of his colleagues, the aforementioned Anthony Serba, had revealed that he had cloned a frog. Warren then, using the genetic material that he's acquired from Gwen, gets Serba to create clones for him. When Serba attempts to stop him, Warren then snaps and kills the man. And in a scene that will reoccur, he dumps the body in a furnace and smokestack. We then get a scene in early 149 where Warren, who is recounting all of this, we see him walking past an open classroom where a colleague is lecturing, and he overhears the colleague say, quote, "By far the most cowardly of the predators is the Jackal, a member of the canine species who," and then trails off, and then we get Warren's thought bubble, "The Jackal, that's who killed Serba, not me, the Jackal." So we essentially get the start of a split personality with Warren. And this is the explanation for where the clone of Gwen has come from. It was Warren, who's been a background character for a significant amount of time, is the one who created the clone. Peter, again, this is early 149, is then knocked out. And Warren taunts Peter that he will, quote, "now have to face his darkest self." And when Peter wakes up, he is faced with an identical copy of himself, another man with his voice, his body, in a Spider-Man costume, facing him. And this, ladies and gentlemen, in Amazing Spider-Man 149, is the proper introduction of the then unnamed Ben Reilly. And that is where we are going to leave it for today. As always, I'm Mr. Scott Free. Check me out on social media and check out the show on social media, The Clone Conspiracy. And I will see you next time.